Please take your Bible this morning and open to the book of Revelation, chapter number 3. The book of Revelation, chapter number 3. I'm going to read as a text verse this morning, verse 20. Revelation 3 and verse 20. And we'll spend our time this morning right here in this area of Scripture. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." I'm going to read it one more time. Just think about what it says. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." Many of us, I'm sure, have seen the painting that relates to this verse. It shows Jesus on the outside of the door, waiting to enter, but there's no handle on the outside where he is. And it pretty accurately portrays what this verse says. If anybody, you know, on the inside would hear his voice and open the door, then he will come in. And many times when this verse is mentioned or read or preached about, many times this verse is used to talk about someone getting saved. Jesus knocking at the door of your heart and asking to come in and to be your Lord and be your Savior. And I think it's okay to use it that way and apply it that way. But if you notice, the verse is actually found in the letter to the church at Laodicea. And I'm not going to read the whole letter, but chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Revelation records for us 7 different letters to 7 different churches. And the church at Laodicea is a church that is described in the letter as not being hot and not being cold, and instead being lukewarm. And because they're lukewarm, God says, if that doesn't change, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. He wants the church, of course, any church, to be hot for him. All right? But you get the idea by reading the letter that it would almost be better to be cold than to be lukewarm. It's the part about being lukewarm that he really doesn't like. He's really not pleased with whatsoever. There are churches in America today that are like the church at Laodicea because they're not hot and they're not cold. They're more lukewarm than they are anything. And if you think about it, the Lord said that he wasn't pleased with that, and he would spew them or spit them out of his mouth. He would rather that they be hot for him. That's really what our Lord's desire is, that every church be hot for him and alive for him. Now, I'm gonna get into my notes here pretty quick, but why is this church lukewarm? Could it be, and after this I'll pray, why is this church lukewarm? Could it be because Jesus is not on the inside? He's on the outside, wanting to come in? Looking over the things that I'm going to talk with you about today, that really struck me. It's sad to think that there would be a church where Jesus is not on the inside, where he's actually on the outside. But we'll talk about that today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege that I have to stand before a congregation of people and teach and preach your word. I really don't feel qualified or able to do this, Lord, and I certainly do need your help, and I pray that you'd guide my thoughts and words and help me to say what you want me to say, even in the way that you want me to say it. May all of us, including myself, have open ears and receptive hearts to hear what is meant for us today. Because this is written about a church that was alive a long time ago. But there's application for all of us today as well. So speak to us, Lord, and challenge us today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, normally we think about these words in connection with Jesus trying to come into the heart of an unconverted person. But in the context, of course, it's Jesus trying to enter the church at Laodicea. And the thought comes to mind with this question, is it possible that a church could actually lock Jesus out? Is that possible? Is it possible that a church today could actually lock Jesus out? And here's one more application real quick. Is it possible that an individual like you or me could actually lock Jesus out of our life? These are all thoughts I'd like us to consider today as we go through the outline. And I just entitled this, by the way, Let Him In. Let Him In. You notice in the verse, Jesus is on the outside. He's there at the door. He's wanting to enter, but he doesn't have a door handle. In other words, he can't force his way in. Someone on the inside has to open the door and invite him to come in. So whether it's an individual or whether it's a church family, someone else has to invite him in. So think about this as we go through the outline today, and think about the title, Let Him In. First point I want to talk with you about this morning is, how do men shut Jesus out of the church? That's apparently what happened here in Laodicea. How did they shut Jesus out of the church? Well, I have a couple of thoughts. One is, perhaps, by a careless, nonchalant attitude. A careless, nonchalant attitude. Like, you know, the church will always be there. If I miss today, that doesn't really matter because there'll be another service next week. Or if I miss this morning, there's another service tonight. Or if I miss tonight, there'll be another one Wednesday night. And, you know, it's easy, I think, after you miss a time or two, it's easy to miss again. And the more you miss, the harder it is to get started again. You know, the best thing that I've found, and especially as the pastor, just keep going. Pastor should keep going, shouldn't he? I mean, you wouldn't want me to miss like that, right? You know, it's a good thing for Stoughton Baptist Church that I don't treat our church like some of our members do. That's not in my notes, by the way. That was free. That's right. But a careless, nonchalant attitude. You know, to me, I think church is important, and not just because I'm the pastor. I thought that before I became a pastor, and I wondered many times through the years, is this one of the reasons why God called me to be a pastor? Because of how important I think church is. And church attendance and giving to the church and trying to help the church to grow and things like that. All of us, I think, I believe this anyway, believers should value their church. They should not treat it with a nonchalant attitude or careless attitude. You know this. You've heard this before. You've heard me say this before. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. Is it possible that God could take away our church?
Yes.
That is possible. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want that to happen, and I pray that it never happens, you know. I think Stoughton and the surrounding areas here need, including our missionaries, need Stoughton Baptist Church to be here. But is it possible that one day it could not be here? I think that's very possible. Recently, might have been Wednesday night even, I talked about church buildings that are no longer church buildings. They're used for other things. And one of our members brought up a picture of a church building that they saw, and they were so bothered by it, they took a picture of it. this particular church, beautiful white framed wood framed building, the kind that many of us, you know, I think admire and like to see in the country, was now used not as a church, but as a place to sell alcohol. Well, man alive, that's just the opposite of what a church building ought to be used for. But I just say again, is it possible? Well, we know it's possible because churches are closing all over America. And one of the reasons why churches are closing all over America is because many of the members, not all of them, of course, but many of the members treat the church with a careless, nonchalant attitude. I wonder if Laodicea was doing that. I wonder if that's one of the reasons why Jesus was on the outside trying to get inside. All of us need to treat our church with a very loving, important attitude, realizing, of course, that God could remove it anytime he wanted to. And I believe this, I hope you do too. God gave us this church. Gave it to you, gave it to me. This is the church that he expects us to be at and be a part of and be faithful to. And so we ought to come with an attitude of humility, realizing again it's the Lord's church. We understand that, but he brought us all here, and we are the ones that make up the church. And I hope you realize this too. The church really is not the building. The church is the people. Remember this, don't you? Here's the church and here's the steeple. Look inside and where are all the people? Huh? Or this way, here's the church and here's the steeple. And you look inside and, oh, there's all the people. We all remember that as children, don't we? But a lot of churches in America today are emptying out. I have a good idea that Laodicea was that way too. We need to approach the church with an attitude of humility, and we need to approach our church with an attitude of worship. We also need to approach our church when we come, every time we come, with an attitude of expectancy. I don't know about you, but I'm expecting our church to grow. I'm expecting our church to be full again one day. I'm expecting while we're here that God will work in hearts and lives. I'm expecting, and I have asked him about this many times, to help me, you know, to give you something that will be encouraging and helpful. So all of that has to do with really fighting against that careless, nonchalant attitude. The attitude of humility, worship, expectancy, we all need to have that as we come. How do men shut Jesus out of the church? One way is perhaps by a careless and nonchalant attitude. Here's another way that people can shut Jesus out of the church. And I don't know that Laodicea was guilty of this, but I think it's very possible, by having a critical spirit towards others. A critical spirit towards others. I don't know that we really understand how dangerous and deadly a critical spirit is. But a critical spirit toward others is very harmful to the spirit of unity and oneness that the Lord wants us to have. Anyone can be a critic. It takes special effort to see the positive in all different situations. Anybody can be a critic. The critical spirit sets itself up as the judge and jury. The critical spirit is always looking down on others and other things because, again, it's the authority. The critical spirit, of course, is based in pride and selfishness. By the way, what does the Bible say about proudness and pride and haughtiness? Doesn't God say in his word that he hates that? I don't know that Laodicea was guilty of having a critical spirit toward others, but I know some people that have that. Maybe not anybody here, hopefully, but throughout my lifetime, I've met several people that they see the negative in everyone and everything, except themselves. That's interesting. But people can shut Jesus out of the church by a careless and nonchalant attitude, by a critical spirit. Here's another one, and I don't know that Laodicea was guilty of this either, but another way to shut Jesus out of the church is by a spirit of irreverence. Irreverence. This building, for instance, where we meet, this building called Stoughton Baptist Church, where we meet, I realize it's just a building. It's, you know, wood and brick and drywall and carpet and things like that, but it's still the house of God. By the way, it still needs to be maintained and taken care of. It still needs to be kept up, right? It still needs to be respected. I think everybody here knows this, and I believe that most people are guilty of doing this. When you see something that's garbage, that's on the floor, pick it up. I want to say you're guilty of that. Not dropping the garbage, but picking it up. Okay? Just taking care of the place, you know, helping it to look good, helping it to be good, helping it to be something that's presentable to our Savior because of who He is and how great and how wonderful He is and how good He's been to us. Irreverence, of course, is not giving proper respect to the things of God. Now, sometimes, as you know, we have some fun here, and sometimes we laugh here and all that, and nothing wrong with that, but irreverence means that you don't ever take the things of God seriously. And by the way, the things of God should be taken seriously. Because again, they are the things of God. Read in the Old Testament and look very carefully and see how God took care of those who did not take the things of God seriously. Sometimes He opened the ground and swallowed them. Huh? Sometimes He struck them with lightning. Sometimes they just keeled over dead. And I'm not trying to say that He would do that today, but I don't want to take a chance. How about you? The things of God should be taken seriously, right? And not with irreverence. Irreverence can be shown, by the way, by people of any age or any background. God doesn't want us to be irreverent toward the things of God, but He does want us to treat Him with respect and honor, with a worshipful attitude. Let me just say this too, because on the other side of that coin, God doesn't want us to be too dead and formal either. So there's a balance there somewhere, and we need to try to shoot for that. How do men shut Jesus out of the church? By a careless and nonchalant attitude, by a critical spirit, by a spirit of irreverence. Here's another way, and I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but I think it is true. Another way to shut Jesus out of the church is by a lack of faith. A lack of faith. Do you remember this verse in the Gospel of Matthew, I believe it is? He could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. That's simply a lack of faith. Because of their unbelief. Again, I think when we come, we should expect the Lord to be present. I think when we come, we should expect the Lord to be active. I think when we come, we should expect the Lord to be active in, ready? My life. Not just other people, but my life. That lack of faith, that unbelief, that, you know, people do this sometimes, and it's a shame, but they go to church, but they're going, you know, not really expecting anything, and it's kind of a ho-hum thing, and, you know, I've been here before, and I've heard all that before, and this and that and the other, and man, when is this going to be over? And I can tell you this, I'm still on my first point, so it's not going to be over for a while. but a lack of faith. A lack of faith. Was the church at Laodicea guilty of these things? I don't know this for sure. But for whatever reason, the Bible says that Jesus was on the outside wanting to come in. And notice that, wanting to come in. But he was waiting for someone to open the door and invite him in. Would you help me do this? When you think about this topic or this title, Let Him In, would you help me do this as a church member? Would you help me invite Jesus to come to all of our services? Amen. You know, I encourage you this. Pray before you come. And pray that the Lord would join us. And that he would draw others here. And pray that he would, you know, speak to us through the services, through the music and the message. Pray that he would come in and be a part of our services here. How do men shut Jesus out of the church? First, by a careless, nonchalant attitude. Second, by having a critical spirit toward others. Third, by a spirit of irreverence. Fourth, by a lack of faith. And there's probably other ways too. And I don't know for sure if Laodicea was guilty of these things or not, but I think these things that I mentioned are problems today for some churches. The second thought, and I just have three main points, so we're already through number one. We know we're closer to the end, right? Number two, you ready for this? What if we let Jesus into the church? I don't know if you've ever had thoughts like this or not, but I have. If the Lord Jesus came to our services and did some of the things that he did in the Bible, would we be able to handle it? Remember Ananias and Sapphira? I wouldn't want to go through that, would you? Or what about, you know, the lame man that was outside the temple, and then, you know, this would be with the apostles, of course, but he was all healed and jumped up on his feet and came running down the aisle, you know, leaping and praising God. Would we be able to handle that? These are all good questions, you know. What if we let Jesus into the church? Would things change? Do you remember in the Old Testament it says about Samson, I think it was, that the Spirit of God left him and he wist it not? King James language there. He wist it not. In other words, he didn't even realize it. Ooh, the Spirit of God left and he didn't even realize it? Now that did happen to Laodicea. Because where's Jesus? He's on the outside. He's not on the inside. What if we let Jesus into the church? Couple of thoughts. One, if we let him in, he will guide us in our choices. He will guide us in our choices. One of the things that I have to do, of course, as a pastor, is I have to pray and ask the Lord, what do you want me to talk about today? Now, this is one of the reasons why I like studying books of the Bible, because that's already determined. All right, like Sunday school, 2 Samuel, that's already determined. Sunday night, Isaiah, that's already determined. Wednesday night is 1 Corinthians, that's already determined. The main one that I have to be concerned with is Sunday morning. Lord, what do you want me to talk about this Sunday morning? If we allow him to come in, he'll guide us in our choices. By the way, I want him to guide me in the choices of sermons that I bring. I want him to guide me in that, because he knows you and what you need to hear. He knows me and what I need to hear. I want him to guide me in those choices. By the way, I want him to guide me even as I'm delivering it. And I pray about that often. But he'll guide us in our choices as a church family. You know, should we support this missionary or not? Should we give to this need or not? Should we, you know, change the times of our services or not? Should, you know, all the different decisions that have to be made. The Lord knows, right? He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what we should do, what we shouldn't do. If we allow him into the church, he'll guide us in our choices. Do you think we need his guidance? I do, too. What if we let Jesus into the church? Well, he'll guide us in our choices. He will also, secondly, influence our conversations. Do you ever think about what we talk about when we come to church? Like before and after? What do we talk about? Well, we talk about a lot of stuff. Please don't get upset with me when I say this, but much of it doesn't really relate to the Bible. We talk about the weather. We talk about politics. We talk about sports. I'm guilty. You understand what I'm saying, don't you? Wouldn't it be good if after a service, and maybe it's because the sermons aren't good enough, I don't know, but wouldn't it be good enough, wouldn't it be something if after the service, we all got around different places in church and we just talked about what we heard today? It's one of the reasons I like our Sunday school class, the adult class, because of the back and forth and the conversation and the discussion and so forth, but we need that. He will influence our conversations. He will guide us in those conversations and lead us in those conversations and help us to use our conversation to build each other up and encourage each other and strengthen one another and, you know, exhort one another. That's a Bible word, exhortation. Influence our conversations rather than being critical or negative or, you know, things like that. So what if we let Jesus into the church? Well, and you know this. We all know this. If he were here in a bodily form, our conversations would probably change. He'll guide us in our choices. He'll influence our conversations. A third thing that may happen if we let Jesus into the church is he will transform our conduct. Transform our conduct. When you have been with someone for quite a number of years, there is a tendency to, I don't know what other way to phrase this, but let down your guard. I was thinking back about even myself when I first came. And think back to you when you first came. Did you behave yourself differently on the very first day than you do today? It's somewhat natural, right? When I first came, of course, I've got this responsibility up here. I remember being, not nervous really, but concerned about, you know, how will it be received and how will they receive me and how will my style be received and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, over time, of course, now it's been 16 going on 17 years, you're not as concerned about that anymore. I mean, you know what you're getting. But that's not always a good thing if we let down our guard too far. Am I right? If Jesus were here again in bodily form, would that change your conduct? Would you be a little bit more careful of how you know, interacted with each other? And you know, certainly if Jesus were here, you wouldn't make sure that you go out one door while the person you're not so in tune with right now goes out the other door. You understand what I'm saying, right? Because that happens in churches. Sometimes people are lucky there's two doors, right? Because one can go out one day and one can go out the other door. But if Jesus were allowed to come into the church, it would guide us in our choices, influence our conversations, transform our conduct. Here's another one. This really struck me. If Jesus were allowed to come into the church, it would sensitize our conscience. Sensitize our conscience. And what I mean by that is you and I, and I include myself in this, we would tend to become more selfless and more considerate of others and the needs of others. So our conscience would be sensitized. We would be looking more for the needs of others and how we could help somebody or encourage somebody or lift someone up or not be so just concerned about self, is what I was referring to there. Which leads me to this next thought right here. If Jesus were allowed to come into the church, he would guide us in our choices, influence our conversations, transform our conduct, sensitize our conscience, and enlarge our compassion. Enlarge our compassion. I just believe if he were here bodily, we would want to be more caring, more compassionate, more loving, more, and demonstrating that, see, to one another and, of course, to him and the things of the Lord and all of that. So in this verse, Jesus is at the outside door. He's wanting to come in. And according to what verse 20 says, he's even knocking. If any man hear my voice and open the door. Did you see this? It just takes one. Just one. Well, Pastor, I'm just one person within this church family. It really doesn't matter that much. I'm just one. Oh, listen, one does matter. If any man would hear my voice and open the door. So Jesus is standing on the outside, and the title is Let Him In. How do men shut Jesus out of the church? I gave you four main thoughts there. What if we let Jesus into the church? I gave you five thoughts there. Here's my last main point. You ready? Jesus is standing at the door. And he is knocking. What are you going to do? Are you going to let him come in? Are you going to invite him in? I should ask this. Do you even hear his voice? You know, this verse says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice." I think sometimes within churches, people don't hear the voice of God because they're so wrapped up in themselves or their agenda or their things that they want to accomplish today or tomorrow or this week. They really don't hear the voice of God. But if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. So let me ask you again, Jesus is standing at the door and he is knocking. What are you going to do? Are you willing to invite him in? Do you hear his voice first, but are you willing to invite him in? Do you think things will change if we invite him in? And then I wanted to say this also. Not only invite him into the church, but how about inviting him into your life? Every day as a Christian, every day. You've already settled this matter of being saved or not. But invite him into your life in every area of your life. Work, home, family, when you're driving in your vehicle. I mean, let him into your life in every area of your life. Oh, it'll change things. There's no doubt about that. But invite him into your life. He wants to come in and he wants to be a part of everything that you're doing. And then I would be remiss if I didn't say this. If by chance there's somebody here and you're not sure that you know Jesus as your Savior, this verse is for you too. Because he's standing at the door and knocking. Do you hear his voice? Will you invite him in? He won't force his way in. He waits to be invited in. I can say this as one who's invited him in. I'm glad I did that. I can recommend it to you. I can recommend it to you. And as a church family, let's guard ourselves against the careless, nonchalant attitude, the critical spirit toward others, the spirit of irreverence, and the lack of faith. Let's guard ourselves against that. Because all those things work against the Lord Jesus being here, and wait a minute, not only being here, but being in control. We want him to be here, but we also want him to be in control. So, again, the title, Let Him In. Notice this verse one more time. Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Here's another thought. I don't even have this in my notes, but this thought just came to me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Here's the thought. How long will he wait? How long will he stand at the door of the church of Laodicea and knock at that door and wait? Wouldn't it be a sad thing to know that he tried to gain entrance and nobody heard him and nobody invited him in, and so he went down the street somewhere else? You know, if I'm the church at Laodicea, I certainly don't want that to happen. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I love this, I will come in. I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. I will come in. Would you stand with me, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking. Dear Heavenly Father, as pastor of Stoughton Baptist Church, I want you to know, and I believe I speak on behalf of all of our family here, our church family. Lord, we want to let you in. We want you to be a part of our services. We want you to be in control of our services. We want you to be in control of our church. We want you to be the guiding force and factor and person of all that we say and do. If we have offended you in any way, I ask forgiveness for that, Lord. We never want to be said of us what was said of this church at Laodicea, that the Lord Jesus is on the outside seeking entrance, but nobody seems to be listening. Lord, please come in. Please take charge. Please always have your will and way to be done. Help each one of us to step aside and let you have control. It's all for naught if you're not here in control. Would you please do us a very special favor, Lord, and take charge of this church and cause it to grow and cause it to glorify you in every way possible? Please, as the pastor, I'm asking that to be true. And may all of us as members desire that same thing. Please, Lord, bless this invitation. If there's any decisions that need to be made, help us to make them today. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.